Hello, this is Darth Warner calling from Witherscape.
Hello, Dan. I'm Daria, and welcome to Louder Than Hell. So, first question, how much time we have?
25 minutes.
Oh, so let's get to work. Okay, listen, today the Scandinavian countries celebrate Midsummer, called also the Feast of the Midnight Sun. So, how are you going to party tonight?
Not at all, actually. I am living in Germany since 15 months, and I'm not really bringing any Scandinavian traditions over here to Germany. They have their own.
Okay, so maybe some beer and something, and that's it.
Well, it's strictly water and interviews.
Okay, good. Listen, before we'll talk about Witherscape's debut album, The Inheritance, let's talk about you. You are extraordinary multi-instrumentalist and producer. Well, is there still an instrument that you cannot play but that you would like to?
Not really, to be honest, but I would actually like to be a lot better at all instruments. I do know how to play to a certain degree, you know. Somehow you focus too much on becoming 50% on guitar, bass, keyboards, or drums, or whatever, and singing. But I wish I could give each instrument a little bit more attention and become a little bit a better player. Because honestly, I get worse and worse because I don't practice at all, and that's my main problem.
But now I guess that you have to, you just have to, with this new debut album.
Yeah, I had to practice a lot of drumming.
Yes.
The vocals are pretty okay. I've done a lot of vocals in the last years, but the drumming was pretty much. I don't know. I think the last serious drumming I did was for the first Bloodbath album, and after that, I kind of gave it up because playing to a metronome and all it's kind of killing the spirit a little bit of drums. You know, unless you're a fucking robot, you are not good enough. And I felt that there were guys who did it a lot better, like Martin Axenroth, who joined Bloodbath second.
Yeah.
So, but I felt I wanted to play drums again because I had the time.
Yeah.
So I did, and it turned out great.
Yes, great. Listen, your influences are coming from many genres: death, black, rock, power, and so on. But which genre is nearest to your personal tastes?
I would say that any genre works for me as long as there's a good song in there. And so far, I haven't heard a good hip hop or rap song. But, I would like it if it came out, you know.
Yes.
I like melodies and rhythms in combination, and I think there are more elements that I like from progressive rock that is not so complicated. I'm a big fan of Genesis around the time of Killing England by the Pound, Marillion, and so bands that play kind of this big epic songs with concepts and all this, but they don't need to show you how great they are at playing and how fast they can play all the time. You know, that's my favorite style of music, this epic, big. But there's also a shitload of bad, big, epic bands out there that don't know how to write a melody that I like anyway. So it's hard to say, but I would say kind of pomp rock
is
probably my favorite style.
Okay, great. Listen, there is one speciality in you. I mean, you are a left-handed guitarist, but you play on right-handed guitars without reversing the strings. What can you tell me about this choice, or how you managed to do it?
I mean, nobody would be stupid enough to do it on purpose, you know? So for me, it was strictly an accident, and... I've been thinking a lot because everyone is asking me this, and I think what must have happened is that I just picked up the guitar, and since I am kind of double-handed, my father was a straight right-hand person, and my mother is a very left-handed person.
Yeah.
So somehow I got them both. And I shoot the hockey the wrong way, I hold the gun the wrong way, but I play drums the right way. I write with my right hand, you know.
Yes,
so
somehow
I must have felt that the rhythm, the percussive part of the guitar playing, which I think it's very important with the timing of it, This comes from your left hand when you're a drummer, when you really hit the snare drum, you know?
Yes, yes.
And in this way, I felt like the snare drum would be where I hold the plectrum and really attack the string. So that's really how it all developed. And also the fact that I played on a nylon string Spanish guitar where there is no indication for a 5-6-year-old what is up and down, you know?
Yes.
If I would have played on an electric guitar and realized that all the buttons and volume things were on the wrong side, maybe I would have flipped it over, you know? But you never know.
And we will never know.
But for me, it actually, I would say that I have written so many strange riffs because of this. It gives you a completely fresh outlook on the instrument. And of course, a lot of guitar players in the bands I've played with have a great deal of problem learning this because it's written upside down. But then again, it gives my riffs a little bit unique vibe. And when we play with Nightingale, my brother plays the chord from the normal way. I play the same chord, but from the other way, you get a bigger, fuller sound, you know. And I think there's no other band really that have two guitar players, but one of the guys play it upside down.
Yeah, and that gives to your sound this special personal touch.
Absolutely.
Unique. Yes. Listen, now let's talk about With Escape. How did you get together music-wise with your good friend Ragnar Widerberg?
I think what really happened was that we worked at the same shop for a day job, and I got the vibe that he was a composer that never really did anything with his ideas. And I heard him play guitar sometimes in the shop, and I knew that he was the guitar player for Judas Priest tribute band.
Yes.
And that's kind of a hard job, you know, because he picked every note from every solo and he wants to play it perfect. I thought that's a good kind of sidekick material, you know, in him. And what happened was that I asked him if he had any ideas lying around, because I had a really bad writer's block for a couple of years, and he, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 riffs that he's been, that was never used by another band or project that he used to write for, and I just heard no material that would work with Nightingale, but I heard the beginning of a new thing in his riffs, something a bit more metal, something like a combination of the early 70s hard rock and the early metal from the 80s, like before it all turned into this power metal thing.
Yeah,
you know? It's a little bit darker, when heavy metal was still a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a combination of this, and I started to write riffs in the same direction as Ragnar's riffs, and I also took some old riffs I never used that was intended for maybe a Bloodbath record or whatever, and I changed them around a little bit, worked in this new sound that we created. So it was a very special time for me when you kind of started from scratch and you actually had to, in my case, learn how to play drums again, actually, because I hadn't done it for, I don't know, 10 years or so.
So that how was created this Witter Escape sound?
I think how created it was really like only played together, you know. It was not really like we sit down and make a decision, oh, this is the sound we need and we need this and that. We just rehearsed. Ragnar played guitar, I played drums, and all of a sudden we decided on a few rules, that the guitars should be in a normal tuning and we should mix growls and clean and use it on the same riff rather than write separate riffs for the clean and separate riffs for the growling. We like to use the idea that it's like you have two lines of clean and then two lines of growl on the same riff, which I think is fairly unique, you know?
Yes.
Maybe and that's also part of the whole, the freshness to it.
Yes, and the perfect match, as they say.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, you'll release your debut album, The Inheritance, on July 29th in Europe, and a week later in North America via Century Media Records. Please tell me about the 9 tracks in it.
I would say that the opening track is pretty much standard. I mean, have you heard the whole album yet?
Not the whole album, not unfortunately, not yet.
Okay. Well, the first song is called Mother of the Soul, and it's got like almost kind of a black metal vibe going on there. Not really rhythmically, but more of kind of spiritually. It's pretty dark, and also got some nicer, softer moments. And then the second track is the Astrid Fall song.
Yes, that's I've heard.
Yeah, and the third song is the next single. It's called Dead for a Day, which is the most accessible song. It's got a little bit of vibe of bands like Alter Bridge and also a bit of Nightingale in there. Kind of like the most commercial elements of Edge of Sanity in there as well. And the fourth song is called Dying for the Sun, and that's kind of a groovy, a little bit darker song. Starts out with the acoustics, and I think some people might say it sounds a bit like Tool or something like that, you know. And for me, it's kind of a special song because it's I don't know. It's just one of those songs that we did. I have the idea, brought it with me to the rehearsal room, and from there it just kind of took on a life of its own. And for me, songs never do that. When you sit at home and you write with the computer as your friend, you make all the shots. You know, the computer is not composing for you, you know, but that song is really, really a cool one. And the next song is called To the Calling of Blood and Dream, which is Ragnar's composition, a little bit more than mine. It's kind of an up-tempo four on the floor with almost a kind of disco beat to it. And the chorus is it's got what we used to call a Coldplay rhythm on it, which is a little bit unusual rhythm for maybe a metal record, almost some kind of tribal vibe group, and also in major key, which means that there's kind of a positive vibe about the chorus that's a little bit of contrast to all the dark stuff that was going on the record before. And then I think the next song after that is called Math of the Myth. That's really a song I felt was missing on the record for a long time, which was kind of a straight ahead metal song where you just start with a bang, with a riff, you have a verse, a bridge and a chorus, and a verse, a bridge and a chorus, a part, and then the chorus, and then it's over. You know, like none of these complicated part one, two, three, four, five stuff. It's more like a normal, straightforward song, and it turns out to be the favorite from the American part of Century Media. And I think it's got something. I like it. It's got the best arrangement from keyboards of all the songs, with lots of weird loops and vocoders and God knows what. I think then we have Crawling from Validity is the next song. I think that's actually the first song we ever wrote together. And it's a kind of I don't know. It's kind of a Voivod meets soft Judas Priest from the early 70s kind of vibe to it.
Great, sounds good.
Yeah, it's definitely the Voivod influence is shining through there. It's a pretty strange song, actually. It changes tempo in the middle, and the chorus come back in two different shapes, and it's like one of those songs that we took in every direction and see what happens. And then I just got this idea that from the mid section of the song, it would change completely and never come back to the beginning.
Okay.
And then the last song, I think, is the Wedlock Observation.
The Wedlock Observation.
That's the last normal song. And that's one of the great epics of the record. And we also have a few different guest vocals guys on that one, and I think they are still a little bit of a secret.
I was going to ask, but okay, let's keep the secret.
Yeah, Century Media likes to have a little bit of news to give later and later. Honestly, I don't really know how to sell a record in 2013. You know, in the old times, the record came out and that was it. You know, but now it's all this like, let's release this and the next week we will tell them what the cover looks like, and I think it's kind of like a child waiting for Christmas Eve.
Appetizers.
Yeah, so I think that's how you do it now, because there's so many records coming out every week that you need to make sure that the guys who would be interested in this record will not forget about it for months before. The last song on the record is an instrumental piano piece called The Inheritance. Which I wrote actually pretty much after the whole record was ready, and I just felt when I heard the whole record and it stops, and I think this is not how it should end. We should have the cricket, and there should be the music for the liner notes, like in a movie.
Yes.
And it should, like, when you have watched a really, like, an epic movie with maybe an ending that sets you off thinking a little bit what kind of life we are living in, and why is everything, you know, the way it is. It's like sad ending style music that I have written, and this melody line have been with me for 4 or 5 years, but it sounded a little bit too much folk music when I played it on guitar in a normal song or Nightingale, for example. I tried to use it, but it just sounded weird and wrong, and then I just played it on this nice piano sound here in my studio, and it just kind of worked, you know.
Great. Now we have talked about these sounds and a bit also the influences while this album was created. But what about the themes? I know that it's a concept album. So what can you tell me about the themes and the story behind this album?
Well, the storyline is also not really something I would like to reveal, because if someone gave you the script to a really cool movie, but they told you over the phone, you know, it's not really. But I can give you a little bit of a short introduction. What really happens in the beginning is that we met a rich and wealthy family in Stockholm at the end of the 1800th century. It's a happy life, all is nice, and all of a sudden, the parents and the sister and brother from this guy fall ill in a completely strange kind of flu disease, and they start dying one by one after extreme pains and strange hallucinations, and they hear all kinds of things like the crickets they hear, and they lie in their bed hallucinating, and all of a sudden they are gone. And this guy, of course, expects that he's next, but instead he is completely unharmed and sits there all alone in their big house when the lawyer from the family comes and say, okay, this is what happens now, you own everything, and, you know, here's this and that, and here's also the keys to the house in the north.
Yes.
And this guy is like, what fucking house in the north? I never heard about it ever. And it's like the parents wanted to keep it a secret because something was happening there that was not so, that you don't speak of, you know?
Yes,
and
this
raised curiosity from the guy, and he sets, you know, he goes to the north of Sweden, and he finally find a way to this old abandoned mansion somewhere up on a hill, you know, overlooking this nice little village. And that's the thing you see on the record cover. That's actually what he see when he come there. And from this moment when he opened the door to this place, there kind of starts the whole concept. And I don't want to give you any details, because I think it should be together with the music and the lyrics to give it justice.
And now I understand why on your Facebook, the profile photo, there are these keys. So I know why. Listen, about the cover, album cover artwork, Travis Smith is the man behind it. And you already mentioned about this this idea that it's the house that the guy will find there, and maybe we will find out also what he will find inside and what's happening there. What else you can tell me about this cover artwork?
Well, it was pretty clear from the beginning that we wanted the house to be on the cover. And there were everywhere we went, both me and Ragnar separately, we took photos of houses. When there was a cool house in a movie, you tried to take a photo of this somehow. I personally looked and took like screenshots from my computer and sent to Travis, like, this is the kind of vibe we want from the house, you know. And then Travis sent us a picture that he took from a house up on a hill that looked really like, wow, imagine that you would be walking here, and then you look up to your right and there you see it. And then that was it for me, you know. And in the beginning we were trying to keep it looking like a photograph from the old times, but eventually to bring a more Swedish death black metal vibe to the whole concept, we ended up using what we call Somberlane blue. To be, and I know some people have told me that it looks a bit like them from King Diamond or whatever, but then again, we are not trying to reinvent the wheel with the concept or the cover or so. We just wanted a cover that looks like a record cover from a good record, you know? It's like sometimes you see a movie cover or a book cover and there's a skull on there, a flower or, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, that's original, but it looks like I want to buy this because it looks fucking cool.
Yes.
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with Travis because he's so good with the details. Mm. And we say, oh, let's have this and that in the mist and maybe a moon there and maybe something going on there in the corner and a cricket somewhere maybe. And I think when you buy the vinyl version, you will find a lot of details.
Yes,
that you're missing on the CD cover.
Definitely, yes. That the vinyl must come back somehow, and it's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be released on vinyl. So
great. Talking about the supporting this album, will we see you on stage, touring, making shows, or how?
No. Sorry. This is at the moment it's strictly a studio project, mm-hmm. and I used to say this about Bloodbath also, and I ended up being on the stage with them in Wacken. So,
yeah.
Like I always say never, but for the time being, I am super excited about being back in the recording industry, not in the live industry.
Because
that world has changed a lot since I was around, you know?
Yeah.
Nowadays, you need to really be a good act, and there's so much competition from all the big bands coming back again and again and again on touring, because they are not selling records enough to pay for their bills from their big castles or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to start from scratch and imagine that I will get a headline slot somewhere on a big festival. And I don't want to play with the stage in daylight looking. No, it's got to be special then. And it needs a budget. And I don't think there will be a budget for it unless we make it super big for some strange reason. And Bloodbath kind of turned into a hit or whatever, you know. And in the end, someone told us, hey, here's a lot of money. Go play live, and with Escape it could happen for a one-off show maybe, but we're not planning anything.
But as you said, that you never know, so we will wait and see, and that means that soon you will go back to studio, and maybe next year there will be another with Escape record.
No, not really. I will actually go into the studio in a couple of weeks recording the new Nightingale record.
Okay.
And so after that, I will do some other record, maybe a solo album or something, and then there will be a With Escape. Because honestly, this kind of level of good riffs we need for With Escape, you write only a handful in I would say one in the month.
Yeah.
And because, we need about 30, 40 good riffs, and that's like 3 years of good riffing, you know. And
then
I don't want to disappoint anyone. I'm not in it to be a rock star. I'm in it to entertain the people who like my music. And when I don't like my music, I don't think you will.
So
I just have to wait for those good riffs to come, and they come hard sometimes.
Yes, I'm sure of that, I'm sure. Listen, last April you signed a long-term deal with Century Media. How do you see that this cooperation will change your future, or the band's future?
I think the only change I would see is actually that the records will be available.
Yes.
That's really what I hope. And I have a little bit more budget, so hopefully I can work in rest and make sure that the albums sound and look good.
Yes.
And that people like yourself can actually get in touch with me and have interviews. And because some of the past labels I've been on, it's like you deliver the record and then nothing ever happens. Like the record was never made.
Yes, that's sad. I mean,
indeed.
And as you already mentioned a couple of times about these crickets. And you know that I'm from Finland, so I know what you mean about that.
Yeah.
But maybe the most of our listeners do not. So why won't you illustrate? What are these crickets in your album?
Well, this strange animal that makes this weird noise all the time, and it somehow for me I connect it a little bit with something bad is going to happen. I don't know why, but it's like. It's complete silence, but still these guys are out there playing for you on the side. And I just felt that we should start and stop the record with crickets. I don't know, it's just one of those ideas to create an ambience.
Yeah, that's true.
Very important.
Yeah, because I'm living now in Italy, and here each summer night we hear great frog rumbles. So who knows, it could fit to one of your next albums.
Maybe not.
So the last question, how would you like to conclude this chat? I mean, what would you like to say to your fans and to Louder Than Hell readers?
I would like to thank, first of all, the guys who were with me for the first 20-25 years of my career.
Yes.
And I would also like to thank the people that kind of joined in on the second chapter of my recording career. And it's been a great response to Widescape so far. And if I have the health, I will definitely give them at least 3 or 4 more extremely good records before I call it a day.
Great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool.
And Dan, I wish you all the best for your summer, whatever you are going to do, and try to get some relax also, and enjoy.
I will.
Yes, enjoy also tonight as we are celebrating the midsummer. So take care and hope to hear and see you someday.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Thanks for you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.